The Emperor protects. Kill every last one. Attributed to Ezekiel Abaddon, Ulanor Crusade, M31. Chapter 8. Incus Maximal Orbital, Check 5, 2017-09-28. It always took a ship's real space systems a few minutes to recover, but, despite his own post-Geller collapse nausea, Erquidex had been sufficiently drilled in the procedure to get himself aboard the Thunderhawk and strapped in when it had occurred. The Skitari Ranger, Alpha 13 Jazal, had checked his harness, then slotted in alongside. The post-event syndromes made Erquidex's mind squirm, as though his skull had been opened for an augmentation procedure that he had not submitted to. Memories of his time on the lobotomization slab implanted electrodes, making his skin tingle and his limbs jerk. He could taste vomit in his mouth and thought he could smell it on his robes. There had barely been time to realign his senses to the restored reality before the Blood Angel, Gadriel, had guided the gunship from its hangar. But then, Space Marine physiology tolerated translation better. "Are you all right, Magos?" asked the Inquisitorial Stormtrooper, a colonel named Rothy, in the opposite harness, holding on to the vertical bars. Erquidex nodded, trying hard not to be sick again, as the Thunderhawk passed through her parent ship's void shields with a bump. Thrust rippled through his flesh organics as the gravitational forces pushed him hard against the restrictor bar. Seeking something fixed to settle his churning stomach, his telescoping eye stalks sought out the nearest viewing block. Behind them, more troop ships streaming from its launch bays, the castellated bulk of the Inquisitorial flagship Verisimilis, was a bulwark of darkness against the steady light of the stars. More heavily armed than the standard black ship template, and several times more massive than the Spartan menace of Alcazar remembered, the Inquisitorial flagship had been born black, enveloped by an aegis of literal and metaphysical wards, and with a standard crew complement now supplemented with Death Watch space marines, it was as formidable a foe as any, at arm's length or in close. The gunship altered course, and the view swung. Inquisition and Excoriator ships crowded the orbital anchorages of a pearly hyper-industrial ice world. Drop pods smoked a small slice of the upper atmosphere in blacks, greens, and reds. A few other vessels were mixed up with them. Though no expert in Adeptus Astartes vexillology, Erquidex recognized warships of the Blood Angels, Aurora Chapter, and the Brazen Claws. They had been hastily, in some instances partially, reworked in black. The realization of just how much manpower and materiel it would require to convert a million square meters of just one void-scarred warship to Death Watch black had clearly come too late for some. A vast manufactorum tender of the Basilicon Astra hove to alongside an Aurora Chapter cruiser with a spitting contusion from a gravitic lash in her port quarter. Manipulator claws and laser sculptors were setting to work, cutting and cauterizing, even as the Space Marine vessel disgorged drop pods. The visible Navy and Mechanicus ships he could count on his one hand. They hung back from the planet. The planet was one he had visited before, though he had never yet personally set foot on it. He had been part of the sample retrieval mission dispatched after its fall. The memory did not settle his stomach at all. An alien growl and a clank of chain drew his attention from the viewing block. The Veridi Mysticus was bolted to the wall, chains running through thick iron hoops that had been welded to the deck. Even tranquilized, it was terrifyingly strong. The stormtroopers shifted in their seats. In slots designed for the transport of superhuman warriors, they looked like nervous children at an adult's table. "Be calm," said Tyrus, and the outer display of nerves diminished. Huge and fully sealed in his black armor, the Raven Guard surveyed the mortal soldiers. Under the infernal red of his lenses, they found another object for their fear. "Yes, Lord," said Rothy. Erquidex glanced to the warriors either side of Tyrus that made up the reformed kill team Stalker. He was not yet adept at telling armored space marines apart, and recognized them from their training exercises by chapter marking, or lack thereof, more than any other feature. Hakon Icegrip of the Space Wolves, Vhagar of the Doom Eagles, Gadriel of the Blood Angels, Numenes of the Fists Exemplar. Unlike the others, the Fists Exemplar's war gear carried no markings. Urquidex could speak at length on the nature and variation of biological hierarchies. He could explain how the Leo of ancient Terra asserted their dominance over a breeding pool, or the sociogenetics of Veridi Giganticus's rigidly absolutist dominant structure. The ancient Eldar, too, from the few fragmentary treatises he had seen, held to a model of subservience and command that, for all its inherent alienness, was more remarkable for its similarities to human norms than its differences. Even amongst the adherents to the Cog Mechanicus, the exact same structure could be seen in the makeup of the Synod, the Diagnostiad, and the Alpha Station of the Fabricator General himself. The instinct to dominate was as fundamental to biological life as the nucleotidal structure that underlay it. This man was, quite plainly, a leader. A discussion of the flaws inherent to Oriak's Dantalion's philosophy would have made a fascinating diversion just then. With a sudden growl, the Orc Psyker lunged for him. Chains rattled and pulled taut, and the huge beast clattered to the deck. The stormtrooper swore. Alpha 3 Jazal struck it across the jaw with the butt of his plasma caliber. Drugged as it was, orc as it was, the Psyker almost certainly didn't feel the blow, but there was force enough in his cyberguised guardian's arm to put it back on the deck. It drooled where it lay. One poorly focused eye rolled drunkenly around Urquidex. He suspected that the orc was less interested in him than the trio of gold-armored women beside him. Urquidex was accustomed to the company of emotionless beings, but something about the warrior women chilled him. It was deeper even than the unease he felt in the presence of a mind-wiped servitor. It was visceral, basic, an aversion to something alien that was recognized directly by the soul rather than filtered by imperfect organic senses. "Can you tranquilize it again?" said Rothi. Urquidex nodded. "Remain harnessed, Magos," said Tyrus. "Crossing thermosphere," said Gadriel, the Techmarine's voice coming through an internal vox. "Armor up," said Rothi. "Helms on, and check seals. It's a cold world down there." Incus Maximal, Orbital, Check 5, 2017-5531. "All dropships away. All gunships landed and redeploying to engage targets. Lord Issachar signals limited resistance thus far." Shipmaster Waylon Kale walked the gangway from the Strategium to Command Throne under the choral backing of Cherubium serfs of the Fists Exemplar Librarius. Courland grunted acknowledgement. The tax screens and data displays showed the same information.
"Orc vessels? Engaged or destroyed, Lord? No sign of anything breaking away?
Navy and Basilican Astra have the Mandeville Point under blockade."
Courland reformatted the data display at his armrest to call up a bidimensional grid chart of the planet's orbital band. 30 to 40 green icons represented orc ships. They were construction vessels and bulk haulers rather than true warships, though all were armed to some capacity and making a fight of it. At slightly under a quarter of the numbers, Space Marine and Inquisition ships were represented in chapter colours and black, respectively. They were true warships, and green icons disappeared fast. Also in green, but larger, were the planet's orbital facilities. The handful of weapons platforms that had been in orbit no longer had the power output or the mass to return an Orspec signal. The installations currently showing up on Alcazar Remembered screens were dry docks, assembly yards and fuel depots, low-priority targets that the flotilla had ignored while green icons still crowded the board. At Corlan's swiped command, the image on the main oculus altered to one from a starboard viewer. It showed a tangle of aerials and macro turrets blanched with void frost, and through it, one of the orbital shipyards. It was crescent-shaped, one face tidily locked to the planet and the other bristling with empty slipways. The skull section of an Opus Machina had been crudely redone in green. Bulky weapons retrofits spewed macro-ordnance. The fire appeared to be manually targeted, much of it sprayed hopefully into space. Impacts flared violet and indigo from the forward shields of the Blood Angels cruiser that maneuvered alongside. A full broadside from the Space Marine vessel blasted several hundred meters from the shipyard's void-facing side and sent explosions rocking through the rest. The cruiser fired reverse thrusters, gunners reloading for a second volley. A much-reduced volume of fire blistered her shields.
"Launch a shuttle with a message for the Sanguine to break off her attack."
The blanket denial broadcast that all fleet elements were transmitting made direct ship-to-ship or ship-to-ground communication impossible.
"Remind all captains and shipmasters, static facilities are to be disabled only. Dispatch Terminator squads to take recordings, but their orders are not to engage."
"And how do you propose they do that?" said Thane.
The chapter master was lit up by the pale glow of the command deck's vox turret. He had no specific purpose here. Kale controlled the ship, Issachar the fleet and ground forces, Corland himself had strategic command. For want of anything better to do, Thane monitored the hardline comm booths for updates from their planet-side forces and coordinated with the shipmasters of Bulwark and Faceless Warrior. Corland put his brother's uncharacteristic attitude down to frustration and perhaps a little wounded chapter honour. Most of the Fist Exemplar First Company and all of their tactical dreadnought suits had been lost with Dantalion. Out of respect for his and his chapter's losses, Corland chose to let it lie.
"Have Asger mobilize the necessary squads and remind him that he is not to deploy in person."
The reminder was necessary. Corland knew where he would rather be had his position not prohibited it.
"I want him monitoring the feeds from those facilities."
"I will remind him, Lord."
Corland thought he detected some satisfaction in his brother's voice. Nothing ameliorated a sense of frustration like spreading it around. Teleportation signals lit up the tactical displays, energy usage spiking on several inquisitorial ships. He tapped impatiently at the snowy data display.
"And have one of our low-flying craft relay a message to Issachar. Tell him the weapon is inbound. He needs to draw the orcs into the target area and quickly, if we are to have a worthwhile test."
Incus Maximal, Hyboriax Cryoforge, Check 5, 20180901. Issachar could not see the orcs yet. The landing zone was surrounded by bronzed manufactorum walls and by the ice-capped pylons through which ran a sky-blackening net of power lines. Cog Mechanica's icons, recut with tusks, box chins, glowering eyes, and beret-style caps glared down from towering basilici. A ranting Xenos voice blasted out from Augmitter's set-up amongst the buildings. The roadway hissed under an acid snow that tumbled through mechanized guttering, spraying out of corroded effluent pipes in kilometer-high glitter falls that disappeared through successively narrower spectrum rainbows to the unseen sump layer below. The local topography was of immense containers that had been broken open and scattered, ordnance potholes from the initial invasion that the orcs had not bothered to fill. Yawing cranes swung in the jet wash of overflying gunships. The headlamps of 60 rumbling vehicles lit the ground in harsh white streaks, the periodic wash of electricity through the lines temporarily inverting light and shade. Issachar could not see the orcs. Not yet, but he could hear them. Gunfire rattled far away. The crump of rockets, bikes and buggies growled through the surrounding districts. He could even hear the orcs themselves, and not the cracked voice being pumped through the augmitters. The forward squads were already engaged, just on the far side of those manufactorum walls.
"Orders from Alcazar remembered, Brother Captain."
Brother Orgos of the First approached over the debris-strewn roadway. His armor was rad-pitted. The vox antennae of his high-powered pack array twanged with countervailing winds, the occasional snap of voltage leaping towards the overhead cables.
"Corland demands we engage with all haste."
Issachar laughed. "Tell him that it would be my pleasure."
Armored fist squadrons of the Astra Militarum, the merged veterans of the Ullinor invasion, and inquisitorial stormtroopers shivered in column to the front, tracks and armor frosted with a yellow-brown ice of sulfates, fluorates, and hydrochlorates. Demolisher siege tanks and hellhounds grumbled at the head of each column. Fully enclosed sentinels with armored canopies strode the flanks, overwatch provided by heavy weapon teams ensconced behind shockboard barricades set up on top of the crumpled super-heavy crates. With a sequential whoosh of Castellan-guided missiles, whirlwinds loosed. The missiles twirled and parted and spun together, the incendiary barrage crumbling in effluvium stack several kilometers due north. The main armored elements of the excoriators were already engaged in support of the rapid forward advance. Vox chatter from the various squad and company-level channels spoke over one another into his helmet feed. His Lyman's ear could pluck one from the chaos without difficulty.
Have block clear. Moving on. Orc vehicles flanking via Tau processional. Entering Hyboriax Primus. Heavy fire.
Issachar could see the Mons Temple through the bruised swirl of snow. It had suffered damage concomitant with massive orbital bombardment, but the fortified edifice still stood, some of the damaged wings reconstructed in less than sympathetic fashion. Cannon platforms and bright red runway strips for the takeoff and landing of the Orcs' big multipurpose fighter bombers spidered out from the cracked minaret, like tentacles emerging from a black-veined egg sac. It was there that the Orc forces would be concentrated. Issachar raised his fist, and a pair of serfs, in ivory and red habits, hoisted the Ascaran standard from a crossbar above his personal land raider, Tyrant.
Inquisition forces to hold, all other units advance on my command.